Okay, we're in lesson 39. The Proverbs of Solomon that are compiled by Ezekiah's men. We're in part 5. And we just have one more section to do before we then enter into another section, which are the words of Agur and Lemuel. So we're going to take this week and next week and finish up this section of Proverbs, and then we're going to move on. So we're in lesson 39. We're looking at chapter 28 again. We're starting with verse 11, and we're going to go all the way into chapter 29. What we're going to look at again, we're going to go through these individually, and we're going to see some of the wisdom that God has for us today. So I want you to notice verse 11, and we're going to look at the issue of character again. Verse 11 of chapter 28. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. Okay, so here's the point. Here's what he's saying. A discerning poor person can see through the conceited rich person who knows it all. A discerning poor person. Notice what it says there. Verse 11, last part there. But the poor who has understanding searches him out. Who's the him? The rich guy who thinks he knows everything. So a rich man is wise in his own eyes. And you can see how that happens. When you gather wealth and you have a lot of stuff, you begin to think that you have a lot of stuff because of who? Yeah, because of you, because of your decisions, because of how you handled money. And so you begin to see yourself as being what? Wise in your own eyes. And sometimes that may be true. You had wisdom in gaining it, but don't just automatically assume that you have wisdom in all areas. You understand what I'm saying? Don't just think you have wisdom in all areas, because the fact of the matter is you don't, may not necessarily. Does everyone here have wisdom in all areas? Is there an all-wise person here today? Nobody. But what Proverbs is saying here, Solomon is saying here, is that a rich person is wise in his own eyes, but the discerning person, a poor person who's discerning, can see right through it. And that's the whole point there. That's the whole point. Look at now at verse 12, we're going to look at the issue of righteousness. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Here's the point. People flourish under righteous administrations. People flourish under righteous administrations. Because notice, when the righteous rejoice, there's great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. That's talking about the administration here. So for instance, you're seeing this played out on your TVs. What's the big crisis that's happening in Asia right now? Myanmar or Burma. And what's going on with Burma? What did they have happen there? A cyclone, which is like a big hurricane, and it devastated the area. Thousands have died. And how's the government responding to that? They're not willing to accept help, and they're not just willing not to accept help. They're not willing to do what for their own people? Is it a righteous government? Yeah, corrupt. Yeah, it's a corrupt government. So, and here's the point. The Proverbs is telling us that when the wicked arise, when the wicked are in charge, what do men do? What do? Well, not just suffer, but what do they do? Like if you lived in a communist country, and I had relatives who lived in communist East Germany, do you have open freedom to do whatever you want to do? Yeah, you go underground because you're afraid of somebody what? Yeah, ratting you out is what Bruce said, snitching on you, telling on you, because you might get in what? Trouble, because if you say the wrong thing, let's say all of a sudden you just say, I am so, because how many times have you have expressed your frustration with the government out loud here? Okay, yes, people do that all the time. Well, can I remind you of something? You may express your frustration with the government, but the reason you, the government you have is the reason why you can express that frustration. Because in a communist country, you express your frustration out loud, you go to jail. And it ain't with a TV and a health club. It's pretty terrible. See, that's the point, that when the righteous are in charge, people rejoice. There's freedom. But when the wicked, what do? You hide. You hide. See, that's the whole point there. Now, let's go on now. Look at verse 13, the issue of repentance. This is a very important voice. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Here's the point. Repentance of sin brings God's mercy and blessing. Hey, isn't this what we've looked at in our morning series as we have been going through the life of David? David is trying to cover his sin, and he maybe even got away with it, he thinks, and you know, we're going to look at, continue with it today in our morning message. And that's our natural tendency, is when we do wrong, we want to cover our stuff, don't we? We want to cover our problem, because we're embarrassed by it, or we don't want to hurt anybody, but we've done it, so now we cover it. Now, what the Bible is telling us is that when you cover your sin, what does it say there in the text? Anybody, what does it say? When you cover your sin, is everything going to be okay? Yeah, you're not going to prosper. Your life isn't going to go well. In fact, there's a wonderful psalm. There's actually two psalms that are connected with David's sin. One we're going to look at starting at next week, which is Psalm 51. The other is Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is attributed to that same time period. And when you read Psalm 32, because I was just reading it this week, it talks about, David talks about how he just was in turmoil over his sin. His bones were aching. He couldn't sleep at night with the anguish of knowing what he had done. He's not prospering. His health is affected by his sin. That's the whole point Proverbs is talking about here. When you and I cover our sin, you're not going to prosper. In fact, ever notice this? As a parent, I have children. Most of you are parents here, or your grandparents now. And you can observe your kids, and when they are having a real bad day, I mean, they get up in the morning and they're grumpy. A lot of times it's because there's something going on, and they don't know how to handle either the shame or the guilt or what's happening within them because of something they've done wrong. And so a lot of times it's good just to sit down and say to them, what's going on? Instead of just saying, quit being grumpy. Because the grumpiness is actually revealing what? Something else. See, I've told this to you before. You know, with you and your spiritual walk, if you're not walking with Jesus, it's going to be reflected in your actions towards others. If you're not walking with Jesus the way that you should be, it's going to be reflected in your actions towards others, because they affect one another. For instance, you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, he says to men, men, love your wives, but if you don't, guess what? Does he hear your prayers? No. See, one affects the other. And the whole issue is that when you and I cover stuff in our life, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in our actions towards others. It affects us, so therefore it's going to affect others around us. That's why the proverb says, to cover it, you're not going to prosper. So what happens? When you confess it, what does the text say? There is what? Forgiveness, mercy. See, that's the wonderful thing. You've got to deal with the stuff in your life. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. You just can't let it be covered up. Repentance of sin brings God's mercy and blessing. Now look, now it's interesting, because we just talked about the issue of repentance. Now you get to verse 14, and again, immediately, he's talking about the issue of the fear of the Lord. Look at this. Verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Happy is the man who always is reverent, or you could put fear to the Lord. But he who hardens his heart, what? Will fall into calamity. So here's the point I want you to see. He who fears the Lord will be happy and will not harden his heart and fall into trouble. Listen. All right, we just talked about it, didn't we? The whole issue of your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is not right, how's your relationship with others? It's not going to be right either. So now this verse comes along and says, happy is the man who is reverent. Now, let me ask you a question. This is interesting because this is the great American dream. How many of you want to be happy? Isn't that what we strive for? Happiness. You know what, though? We're looking in all the wrong places. We are looking in the wrong places for happiness. We're trying to find happiness in the big cheeseburger down at Denny's. That's happiness for me, I think. Okay? All right? Or for you, it might be the bag of chocolate chips you have hidden away in your cupboard. Or it may not be a bag of chocolate chips. You may even have a pot of gold there stuck away. It may be a promotion. It may be a new stuff from Walmart or wherever. Does that bring happiness? No, but why do we keep pursuing it, though? Notice what the Scripture is saying here. The Proverbs is saying to us that happiness, happy is the man who is what? Reverent or fears the Lord. Happiness is for us as believers is not found in stuff or even relationships. Because sometimes we try to seek happiness in relationships, and if I'm not happy with the one I'm with, what if they say, find somebody else is what the culture says today, right? Just get rid of them and find somebody else. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, you can find somebody else, you're not going to be happy either. But happiness comes from walking with God, fearing Him, walking with Him. Because notice now, the very next thing the proverb writer writes, Solomon writes this, is that when you and I harden our hearts. Now, what does that mean to harden your hearts? Anybody have a concept here what it means to harden your hearts? Okay, Bruce says you don't allow God into it. You just kind of think of your own ways and that's it. You kind of like say, I don't care what you say, God. Okay, I don't care what you say, Lord. I'm going to do my own thing. But here's not what is what the proverb says. If you just decide, I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't really care what you say, Lord. What does it say? You will have what? Calamity. That's a pretty, not just problems, because problems may be you stubbed your toe that day. But it uses a word that conveys a whole lot more, because when you talk about calamity, are we just talking about any old problem when we talk about calamity? No, we're talking about severe issues happening. That's the whole point. So the emphasis of the proverb is you're going to be happy if you walk in the fear of God. You're going to be happy if you walk in the fear of God. Now, look now at verse 15 and 16. We're going to talk about the issue of rulers. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A couple things I want you to see here. Political tyrants are dangerous and destructive. Political tyrants are dangerous and destructive. Because notice what it says. It's like a roaring lion. Now, we don't have lions around here, but we do have bears. And some of you guys hunt. And if you're out in the woods, and somehow you got in between a mama and its cubs, do you like that situation? That would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? And we've heard of guys who maybe have gotten in between and gotten beat up pretty bad, and not killed. But the situation is, that's what he's saying here, is a wicked ruler over poor people is just like that kind of a situation. It's a terrible situation to have a wicked ruler over poor people. And then notice what it says, a ruler who lacks understanding is what? A great oppressor. Now, why would it say a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor? What's the issue with having a lack of understanding? Okay, so here's what Bruce said. Bruce said they're only thinking about themselves. They want wealth for themselves. They're not thinking about the people beneath them. Because when we talk about having a lack of understanding, we're talking about having a lack of wisdom. And a wise person, is a wise person focused on self? No, a wise person is focused on others around him. That's what we've seen in Proverbs. And so when you have a ruler who is just focused on self, he's going to end up what? Oppressing others, because others then are basically existing for who? For him. Okay? For him. But notice now, the last verse, it says, the last part of that verse, it says, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. So here's what it says. The righteous ruler, not the tyrant, will remain in power. The righteous ruler, not the tyrant, will remain in power. Okay, now look at verse 17. We're going to look at the issue of guilt. A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Now the issue of guilty with bloodshed there is talking about a man who has murdered or someone has died because of his actions. And so here's what it's saying. The guilty fugitive will be isolated. The guilty fugitive will be isolated. Look now at verse 18. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Will suddenly fall. So here's the issue of security. Integrity brings security, whereas perversion brings insecurity. And you've seen this. Haven't you seen this? You and I have met folks that do wrong all the time. They maybe operate their business by worldly, wicked means, or they do people in all the time. Have you noticed that they're not very secure? What are they always worried about? Well, not just getting caught, but they're also worried about what? Yeah, somebody doing them, somebody cheating them. You ever met somebody who's just a cheater, a scoundrel, and you ever notice that he'll even accuse you of doing him wrong and you haven't done anything wrong? Why? Because he's got a mindset where he's afraid that somebody else is going to take advantage of him, even though he takes advantage of others. And that's the whole point here. Because integrity, though, but if you're walking in integrity, you have security. You have security of mind. You have you can lay your head down on the pillow at night and go to sleep. Whereas the wicked guy who's doing people in, he's laying his head on the pillow and he's worried about, how am I going to get ahead of the other guy tomorrow? He doesn't have any security. He's worried about somebody else acting like he does and doing him in. And how many of you have met people like that? We all have, haven't we? We all have. See, that's what the Proverbs is talking about here. See, because you could read this verse and say, well, it must be talking about salvation there because it says the person who walks uprightly will be saved. No, it's talking about the way you live your life, not with reference to spiritual salvation here. It's not talking about salvation here. It's talking about integrity and security. Okay, let's go on now and look at the issue of diligence, verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. But he who follows for liberty will have poverty enough. So here's the point. And this is a point we need to awaken to again in our culture. Because there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Alright? Here's the point. Prosperity depends on diligent work. Prosperity depends on diligent work. That's what it's saying here. If you're going to till your land, what's that talking about? Agrarian culture, tilling your land, what's that? You're planting, you're going to have a harvest, you're going to have what? Crops. But if you're just kind of sitting around, not doing anything, enjoying the sunlight in the summer, not worried about much, winter comes, what are you going to have? Nothing. In fact, here's what you're going to do. You're going to complain about the guy who did till the ground and wonder why he's not sharing with you. Isn't that our culture today? He's just a bad guy keeping that all to himself. That's the point. That's the point. That's what we see there. Now look here, now look at the issue of character. Look at verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Here's the point. Faithfulness determines success. Faithfulness will determine success. Now, let me just stop for a moment because you could say, well, man, I've been faithful to work and I'm not getting ahead. We're talking about that's a different kind of faithfulness. That's not the faithfulness it's talking about here. The faithfulness it's talking about here is a faithfulness to God and His Word. And it says here that if you are faithful to God and His Word, you're going to have blessing. Now, let me just stop for a moment. Does that blessing mean that your bank account is going to grow? No. There are other blessings in which way God blesses us. You can be poor and have blessing. Some, you know, we've had folks who go on these missions trips down to the Caribbean to nations that have nothing. Rod and I have been to Haiti where they don't have anything. But yet they have something we don't have. They have blessing. We look at them and say, well, they're not blessed at all. They live poor. Yeah, but they are blessed because they have something else that we don't have, which is God in a mighty way. But then notice what it says here, because this is where we're at today in our country. Notice what it says there in that scripture. Look at verse 20. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. What does that mean? God's going to deal with him? No. If your whole focus is on you getting ahead financially, and you're going to do what it takes for you to get ahead, you're not going to go unpunished. What does that mean? You're going to endure what life will throw at you. And the punishment may take the form of you lose your kids because you're too focused at work rather than being with them. Maybe you lose your relationships around you because you're just striving for work to get ahead, to get more money. See, it doesn't go unpunished. Life will punish you when you have your focus wrong. Life will punish you. You know, here's the thing. When we look on TV and we look in the newspaper or on the Internet, when we read the news sections on the Internet, and they're talking about all these Hollywood rich people, how many of you really want what they have? Oh, you want their money. But you don't want their lifestyle, because when you're reading and seeing what that's happening with their lifestyle, how many of you want that grief? How many of you want that heartache? How many want your sins plastered over every tabloid in the country, in the world? How many? I don't see any hands here. If I said we want their money, we might have hands. But you got to understand, when you strive for the money, you won't go unpunished. Life will punish you. You see the point there? Life will punish you. See, that's why the Scripture says it's better to have nothing and live with contentment and love and mercy with God than to have everything and have strife and misery. You see how our focus is all wrong? We're striving for stuff, but in the meantime, we just can't seem to understand why my marriage is falling apart or why I'm having problems with my kids or why all this other stuff is going on. Well, it's because our hearts are not in the right place. Our hearts are not in the right place. Let's go on now. Look at the issue of injustice, verse 21. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. Here's the point. Partiality in judgment is wrong, even though easily acquired. Even our system today. Are our judges immune from corruption? No, especially when you have to vote for them. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you have to vote for them. For them to hold their offices. Are officials immune from corruption today? Our newspapers are filled with all kinds of congressmen being indicted for what? Bribery. See, here's the point. You can get a man to change his view simply, the scripture says here, by a piece of what? Bread. Because you're meeting his need. Oh, I'll do that for you. I'll do that for you. See, that's the whole point. That's injustice. Partiality in judgment is wrong, even though it's easily acquired. It's easy to get it to change, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Look now at the issue of stinginess. Verse 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches, but does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Here's about the stingy guy. The stingy guy is just so focused on hoarding wealth to himself. Notice what the point is here. Stinginess inevitably leads to poverty. Stinginess, hoarding it, inevitably leads to poverty. And we've seen extreme cases of that throughout history, where somebody just gets so consumed with having more and more and more, and they even live like they live in poverty. But they've got it all hoarded away somewhere, and then they die. Guess what? Did they take it with them? No. You know, I was reading in the Psalms this week, in my personal devotional time, and it talks, one of the Psalms, I wish I had the reference right here in front of me, one of the Psalms in particular talks about how the rich man will try to seek, and gain, but then it says he'll die, and he can't take it with him. And they can't. They can't. Let's go on. Look at verse 23 now, the issue of reproof. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. A rebuke will be better received than flattery. A rebuke will be better received than flattery. You know, if you are helping someone, if you love someone, let's take Sam. I'll pick on Sam today. Let's say I'm recognizing that Sam is doing something wrong. Maybe he's not necessarily intentionally doing something wrong, but maybe there's something he's doing that's not right, and I can tell that maybe he needs to correct his behavior in that area. And because I love him, I go to him, and I lovingly, now here's the key thing, lovingly. Because if I just came and said, Sam, you need to quit doing that, how's he going to respond to that, first of all? He's not going to respond to it well, is he? But if I come to him and say, you know, hey, love, you know, what's that?
You're not telling me.
Yeah, you're not telling me. Okay, that's right. But here's the point. But if I come to him in a loving manner and rebuke him and say, Sam, you know, I love you. Here's some things I'm noticing. You may not be aware of this. But you need to change in this area. You need to be careful. That would go a whole long way than just ignoring it and saying, oh man, you're such a great, wonderful guy, Sam. Hey, buddy, there's nobody like Sam. Nobody like Sam, except of course Bruce when I'm talking to Bruce. But, you know, there's nobody like Sam. See, here's the whole point. A rebuke is better received than flattery. Because after a while, if I'm continuing talking about, oh yeah, hey man, you're number one, he starts thinking, how genuine am I? What's he want? Isn't that what we say? In fact, you might even get to the point where he says, okay, George, what do you want? That's the whole point. See, a rebuke is better received than flattery. Better received than flattery. Look now at the issue of conduct, verse 24. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. Here's the point. Whoever robs his parents, no matter how he justifies it, is a destroyer. It's not a good thing. And we see this all the time. I see this all the time. You should talk to people in nursing homes. And as they care for the dear ones who are there, and then they have to interact with families. And yes, there are families that genuinely care, but then there are families, like for instance, I have a friend that works with the elderly down in Florida, and she was talking to a son of a dear woman that she was caring for. She was like the representative writing checks and all that for them. And she was saying, she said to the son, well, your mom loves you. You need to come visit her. Oh, well, tell my mom I love her. And just call me when she dies. Why? Because he's spending her money. His mom isn't needed for anything just so long as the money's there. But just let him know when she dies. I almost guarantee he won't even be there for the funeral. See, this is what the Proverbs is talking about. He who robs his parents, no matter how much he justifies it, because he could justify it, well, she's not all there anymore. You know, it's just not the same visiting her. You know, and when I go there, it's just, you know, she doesn't even recognize me anymore. But there's no sense going. Scripture says he's a destroyer. He's a destroyer. But here's the thing, genuine love, no matter whether they recognize you or not, that's your parent. Genuine love will still what? Be there. Even if they don't recognize you. You'll be there. See, that's a pretty good proverb, isn't it? Let's go on now. Look at the issue of character again, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Here's the point. The object of one's faith, determines the direction of life. The object of one's faith determines the direction of life. So when you look there, it says, he who's of a proud heart. Who's the object of that faith of a person who's of a proud heart? Who's the object? Self. Self. All it does is going to stir up strife in his life. Problems. But if you're what? Notice what it said. He who trusts in the Lord will what? That's what it says there. Will be prospered. And again, when we talk about prosperity in the book of Proverbs, we're not talking about fat bank accounts. Because there's more to prosperity than that. Let's go on now. Look at the issue of conduct. Verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Here's the point. Security in life comes from a life of wisdom and not from self-sufficiency. Security comes from a life of wisdom, not from self-sufficiency. Listen, you may strive all you want to try to better your life so that you can feel okay at home. If I could only just get that promotion. If I could only just win the lottery and you go and buy and scratch. You know, and if I could only just get the Powerball, I'll just be okay. That's all self-sufficiency. But it's not going to bring any security. Security comes from what? Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. That's where your security is going to come. Even when it seems like all the rest of the world is upside down. You can stand on the rock and not be shaken in your faith because what you're trusting in is not what? Your abilities, your resources, but in God who said He would take care of you. In God who said He would not forsake you or leave you. In God. See, that's where true security comes from. Look now at the issue of generosity, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Here's the point. Generosity is rewarded, but indifference is cursed. Here, I want you to notice something. Over and over again, the Bible is very clear, especially in the book of Proverbs, when it comes to the poor, because we have this attitude in our country today that says, who's the poor? Well, they've just got a government program to take care of them. Let me tell you, as you know, because I, in the capacity as pastor here and as I interact with the other churches, I have because I'm the treasurer, I get to interact with a lot of people who have needs in our community. And there are a lot of people who aren't covered by a government program. And they're desperate. And you know what? They're getting more and more with the way the economy's going. And there's no government program to take care of them. So who's the poor? But the Bible says, if you and I give, we'll not lack. But if we turn an indifferent eye, well, I just won't look over there. I'll just walk over this way. You bring a curse upon yourself. You bring a curse upon yourself. You say, is that throughout the Scripture? Look, all you got to do is go all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Bible says very clearly, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says that you can't outgive God. This is a general principle. What you give, He gives back. In fact, He gives to you so that you can give to others. But you know what? We've never tested that verse, have we? Because we're so worried about, well, if I give there, you never know what's going to happen to me. That's the whole point of the Proverbs there concerning generosity. Let's go on to the issue of stability, verse 28. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Notice, here's the point, stability. The righteous flourish when wickedness is removed from government. When wickedness is removed from government, or when wickedness is removed from society, the righteous will flourish. Hey, you're seeing that played out today in our culture? Where we're just turning a blind eye to all sorts of evils? Are the righteous flourishing? No. No, they're not flourishing. Now, let me stop for a moment, because you might say flourishing is, again, you're thinking of it in terms of finances. I'm not talking about it in terms of finances, because the Bible talks about very clearly, you go all the way over into the New Testament, reflecting back upon the Old Testament, it talks about Lot and about how in living in Sodom, the Scripture very clearly says that his soul was what? Vexed, tormented by what he saw in that culture. You know what, my friends? You need to, if you're not being tormented by the stuff that's happening in our society today, there says something about where you are spiritually. If you're not grieved by the sin that's taking place in our culture, the attitudes, the oppression. That's the whole point there. Let's go on now. Let's look at the issue. We're looking at chapter 29 now, verse 1. We're going to go through verse 4. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm just going to give you these points without comment. Look here now. Destruction comes quickly to those who refuse to change. You just harden yourself? All you're going to do is just seal your own doom. Look now at verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people, what? Notice what it says. Groan. Groan. Here's what it says. Notice now. When righteous leaders are in control of the government, people are glad. People are glad. When righteous leaders are in control of the government, people are glad. Notice now, verse 3. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots, that's prostitutes, wastes his wealth. Notice what it says here. Wisdom ensures joy and prosperity. Wisdom ensures joy and prosperity for the family. How many of you have ever heard a parent say, oh, you know, I'm so proud of Billy Bob. Billy Bob just goes down to the corner pub and just hangs out there and gets plastered all the time. He's laying around town with as many women as he can find. What a guy, Billy Bob. How many of you ever heard a dad say that? How many of you ever heard a mom say, oh, I'm so proud of my Billy? We've never heard that. Why? Because that kind of behavior is what? Shameful. Shameful. That's the whole point here. That's the whole point here. Look now at the issue finally, security. A king establishes the land by justice, and he who receives bribes overthrows it. So here's what it's talking about. A nation is secure when justice prevails. Security in a nation comes when leaders do the right thing. But when they do a wrong thing, is there security in a nation? Listen, my friends, can I be honest with you? The greatest threat to our nation is not a bomb. It's not some terrorist. The greatest threat to our nation are leaders who are what? Corrupt. That's what the Proverbs is saying. That's what the Proverbs is saying. Okay, let's close our time in prayer, and we'll get ready for the morning worship service.